next guest, Dr. Roger Klein, a clinical pathologist with a subspecialty training in medical microbiology, board certification in molecular diagnostics, runs labs just like the type that are detecting COVID-19 right now. Doctor, welcome back to the program.
Hi, Steve. How are you today?
Good to be with you. I'm well. I'm healthy, and I'm glad to be so. All right, so I'm seeing some numbers on some of this modeling, and I want some help from you if we could, because the breakdown that I'm getting here indicates that hospitalizations are a leading indicator of an outbreak, and people dying is a lagging indicator. And in New York, 7 days ago now, they predicted there would be 50,000 hospitalizations and over 10,000 ICU beds needed by the 1st of April. As it turns out, statewide in New York, there are just over 12,000 hospital beds being occupied by COVID-19 patients and 3,000, almost exactly, ICU beds. They over-predicted it by 4 times. In San Francisco, it's remaining relatively flat, the number of patients coming in. Cedars-Sinai, since the 17th of April, 17th of March, they've added 5 patients a day. That's it. Some places are showing encouraging signs. Am I wrong to find that encouraging?
Steve, you're skeptical. No, I think you're right. Look, we're talking about people who are making models that are based on assumptions that dictate what the end result is, you know, and often I think there's nothing wrong with preparing for worst case scenarios, but I do think that one of the problems or fallacies into which we've been led has been treating models, you know, which are just predictions, again, by people who put data, you know, garbage in, garbage out, you know, people who put data, and I don't want to say that's probably too extreme, but you understand, you're putting numbers in and you're getting something out. We're treating those as if they're actual data or evidence, and they're not. They're just...
Well, here's my question, because...
like hypothesis.
The deputy minister of health in Italy, a week ago or so, said that Italy was overstating the number of COVID fatalities by about 8 times, because they said anybody diagnosed with COVID, regardless of how they died, it was attributed and notched up as a COVID-19 fatality. You could have COVID-19 and get hit by a car, they'd knock it up to COVID-19. The same, I'm told, is also happening in New York in some places from some numbers that I'm getting, and that the numbers are being overstated a bit in New York. Now, New York, I'm not dismissing what's going on there. And I'm not dismissing the fact that America has lost 5,000 people to date, give or take, from COVID-19. But we do have to be mindful of the numbers, and the numbers matter. And do you agree with the premise that hospitalizations are a leading indicator of an outbreak and death would be a lagging indicator of what's going on? Does that seem accurate to you?
Well, I mean, I think in a general sense, yeah, but in terms of specifics, you know,
I bring this to your attention for this point. Yesterday, according to Governor Cuomo in his daily briefing, New York discharged as many patients from his hospital system as it brought in. And it's been that way for a couple of days. They discharged as many patients from the hospital system as they brought in. That would be a flattening. That would be an indication of a flattening of the number of cases. Or am I looking at it too simply?
No, I don't think you are. The problem is it's really hard in something fast-moving like this to place too much stock on numbers that are based on individual decisions. So, for example, you have a smaller city with a small outbreak. They may admit every person who tests, you know, who's suspected, and then test them, and they're positive and keep in the hospital. But as the hospital system gets more used to seeing the patients and their capacity decreases or diminishes, they may admit fewer patients. They might discharge to home or to another facility, patients that they otherwise would have admitted. You know, the initial treatment or the initial management might be more stringent or more severe, in a sense, treat them as more severe cases than
because they have the option to do that.
To go along. So that's a variable.
All right, so the smaller places might have the luxury, if you will, to keep somebody in the hospital bed longer, under hospital observation, where in bigger cities, maybe they push them out faster to make room for somebody who's in more critical or acute distress. Fair enough.
Yeah, but even New York, you know, early on might, they may be managing things somewhat differently than they did. You know, this is, you know, a couple of weeks ago. I mean, this is moving so fast that it seems like an eternity, but we're really talking about, you know, days and weeks.
Correct. Dr. Roger Klein here, a clinical pathologist, training in microbiology as well. And so let me ask you this, something else that has come into the headlines, and I just want to ask you personally your opinion of this. We were told for weeks that masks, you know, you shouldn't use a mask because people that don't know what they're doing is likely to cause more harm. Now I've seen 34 studies, count them, 34 studies, say wear the masks. Which is it?
Well, I don't think for the average person there's much point in it. Some people have been proposing masks now because under the assumption that there's so many people who are infected, it will stop the spreading. But I don't, you know, I think for in general to, and that would be to protect other people. It's not to protect yourself. I don't think the masks are likely to be particularly effective in a general sense. If you're caring for somebody, for sure. But if you're just walking around with a mask, what's going to happen is you don't know where your exposure is, or if you even have one, and you're probably not going to wear it right because they're not so pleasant to walk around in, and you're going to touch things and do other things, and you're still going to be exposed the same way you would have, which is would be mostly by, for example, touching a surface and then touching your face. I'm skeptical of the mask, and I think right now we need to reserve them for health.
I don't mean to play devil's advocate, doctor, but doctors yourself, if you walk into an ER, you don't know which patient is the exposure either, and you wear masks.
Yeah, exactly. But the likelihood that the person could transmit it is much higher. And these masks aren't going to be great for prevention of that. You really need the N95 masks. But they're useful for other patients, and they're. You know, I think they also protect patients from the physician or healthcare provider, if they have something. I don't think this is a cure. I think what we need to do is start managing this like every other disease, and people come in and you diagnose them, which we can do now and treat people accordingly, isolate and, quarantine contacts, those sort of things.
I'm sure you've run the numbers.
I don't think this is a solution. I got to be honest with you. It's not. If we're dependent on this, we're not part of a solution.
I'm wondering if it's part of a solution overall. Last question, doctor, and that is this. Your feelings. You watch the numbers. You watch the outbreaks. You have a background in this, obviously. Your feel. Is it going to peak in a week, 2 weeks, unknown? What are your thoughts? We got about 30 seconds.
Okay. I'm not going to give you an exact date. What I think we are, I think we're very close to managing this as a disease like flu or any other disease where we diagnose people when they come in, and we treat them accordingly. I think I'm not saying it's going to disappear. I think we're going to get control of it quickly. What we need are surveillance data, and what we need to do is move very rapidly to acquire serological data, which is antibody-based data that can tell us who has been infected and who has not, and who's acutely infected, so that we can get a handle on what this disease really is. We still don't know, and we don't know. We don't know how relevant the New York experience is to anybody.
But
else.
That's good news. I mean, to me, for you to say we're close to managing it, I like that. Doctor, we have to leave it there. Dr. Roger Klein, always a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you.
This is the No Panic Zone. You're watching the Steve Gerber Show.
Rocksoar Beast of a Sales event is here right now. Get $1,250 off of a 2019 Rocksoar and an extra third year of warranty. That's far and away an industry-leading warranty. But then what else would you expect from a side-by-side unlike any other? Rocksoar is built in the USA with a steel body, box steel frame, and a four-cylinder Mahindra turbo diesel engine. Plus, with a truck-like beltless transmission, you can expect less downtime and more off-road time. Hurry, the Rocksoar Beast of a Sales event ends March 31st.
At the Michigan Chamber, we want you to know that we are working for you.
We know the importance of staying healthy, keeping your family safe, and adhering to the governor's executive order.
But we also know the importance of keeping the economy going.
If your business is open, we want to support you any way we can.
We're going to continue working with the governor and working with the legislature to find solutions to your problems.
When it's time to get back to work.
When it's time to get back to work.
Together, we're going to bring this economy back.
Hey, parents. Finding it hard to communicate with kids in today's world of ever-changing slang?
Hi, son.
Excuse me?
Introducing the Communicizer. Just strap non-toxic Communicizer to your mouth and go from boring old man speak.
Oh, you know, I'm here if you want to talk.
To 100% off the chain.
Text me whenever, yo.
It's that easy.
Thanks to Communicizer, I'm relevant to my kids again. I mean, I'll fly, boo.
And now when you buy Communicizer, you get the auto-tune attachment free. Sounds so hip-hop, your kids will want to talk to you for hours.
I used to have to walk 3 miles uphill to school every morning, shorty.
I love you, Dad.
I love you too, son.
Communicizer is not available in stores because it doesn't exist. But that's okay. You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Because kids in foster care don't need perfection. They need you. For more information on how you can adopt, go to AdoptUsKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.